hearts are grateful, Lord, for your goodness, your grace, your mercy, your forgiveness, your greatness. Thank you, Lord. We are humbled in your presence this morning because we are weak. We are frail. We can become easily distraught. We can become consumed with what's going on around us. And we can easily get our eyes off of you. And so, Lord, this morning, these songs, these times of worship, we intentionally put our eyes back on you, the focus of our hearts back on you. And as we do that, we sense your freedom. We sense your fullness. We sense even the conviction that we need to come closer, draw near, confess our sins, make things right. Thank you for that, Lord. I praise you that you inhabit the praises of your people. That where two or three are gathered, there you are in the midst. You're right here, right now, reaching out, opening hearts and minds, opening our lives up to what you have for us. And so I pray today as we get into your word and as we move forward that you will guide us into the truth. And it's in practicing this truth that we will be set free. Lord, also I want to pray for our community as this week we heard of a terrible tragedy. And we just ask, oh God, for your comfort to be on that family that lost their daughter in such tragic circumstances. Father, we pray that you would comfort them in their great sorrow and in their great sadness. And come to them, Lord. Show them your mercy. Let them know that they can weep on your chest as they sit on your lap and you hold them. Father, we pray for them. We just pray for the whole community that some of the things that happen in our hearts when we hear of tragedies like this, Lord, our foundations are shaken. Things that we maybe thought were important were no longer important because we're searching for reality. We're searching for something deeper, something more meaningful. I think we're searching for you. And I pray that you would show yourself to those in our community as strong and here for us when tragedy strikes. And so, God, we just put all these things out before you. These songs, oh Lord, we just lay them before you as a bouquet of prayer and praise. May they be sweet-smelling aromas to you as hearts are lifted towards you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I encourage you to open your Bibles to the book of Ephesians chapter 5. And we're going to take a look at a couple of passages today. So I want you to kind of be nimble, ready to go. And we're going to look at a passage from James, and we're going to look at a passage from the book of Proverbs. So keep yourself nimble, ready to fly. If you use your phone, just get ready for that, because we want to match up some scriptures that go throughout most of the scripture. The theme that we're talking about today is to walk in wisdom. As we've been marching our way through chapter 5, we've already been instructed the past two Sundays. The first Sunday we were instructed that God is love. And that because he loves us as his children, we are to walk in love. We are to move forward in the position of love, of intimacy, of God's great care for us. And as we move forward into this world, this is what we take with us, with the knowledge of the intimacy that we have with God through love. And last Sunday, we took a look at the fact that God is light, and so therefore we are to walk in light. And when we walk in the light, we find freedom. Because the truth is the light. And when we walk in truth, we walk in light. And we can see. And so often in Scripture, I mean, especially Jesus, he walked around healing people, opening up their eyes, not just because of the physical healing. Yes, that's true. But as a symbol of what the kingdom of God was bringing, opening up our eyes to see, to be enlightened. And today we want to look at this third aspect. Now that we know that we are to walk in love, now that we know that we are to walk in light, now he says walk in wisdom. Live out your life in wisdom. And this passage really excited me. I love wisdom. So let's read it out from Ephesians chapter 5, starting at verse 15. Ephesians chapter 5, starting at verse 15. Be very careful then how you live, how you walk. I like the King James there. It doesn't say be very careful. It says walk circumspectly. A word that you just don't hear anymore. Walk very carefully then. See that you walk in wisdom. And the opposite is the only other opposite. Not as a fool. So you either walk in wisdom or you walk as a fool. Wow, pretty stark. But instead, be wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Don't get drunk with wine, which leads to debauchery, a waste. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus. Wow. Walking in wisdom is certainly interesting at the very least. So let's take this look. Let's just sort of narrow this down a little bit. As we go through life, I believe because of the pace. Now, I hate giving credit to COVID for anything, but if there's one thing that has happened, the pace of life has slowed down. Would you agree? There is something in wisdom and slowness that are mates. They're sisters. They're two sides of the same coin, because you can't be walking carefully and rushing around. It just doesn't happen, especially for klutz like me. I wanted to tell you the story. I wanted to have a picture, but I couldn't find one. When we were in Ireland visiting family, because my grandfather's side comes from there, we went to visit his sister, actually, and all the cousins and everybody came out, and we had a great, great time. And one of the trips that we took was to the Giant's Causeway. Have you ever heard of that? Anybody heard of Giant's Causeway here? Oh, a couple people have. Well, basically what it is, it's pillars of stone that have come up out of the ocean volcanically, and basically once the water hits them, they freeze. And so these great big pillars, like steps everywhere. And I was having so much fun because of these beautiful pillars. And of course, as the water comes in from the ocean, it sprays and splashes. It's absolutely gorgeous. But it also makes the rocks a little slippery. You see where I'm going here. And there were busloads of Asian tourists there. And there I was, jumping around on top of these rocks, having a great time, looking at the beauty and wonder of it all. And lo and behold, if I didn't slip. And you know, I landed on about 5 little Asian tourists. At first I thought, the first thought that went through my head, I think I killed someone. Thankfully, though, they all bounced up, and they're all like, whoa, what just happened? Because I came from above. And they stopped my fall from going into the ocean. But I wasn't walking with care. I was walking frivolously. I was looking everywhere else except for where I needed to pay attention to. And that's exactly the same idea right here. Another story comes from my life like this, because I tend to be like that. I'm walking around this beautiful park, and there were fish ponds everywhere. And as we're walking around, I'm talking to my parents, I'm talking to my sister, I'm teasing, I'm pushing, I'm pretending I'm going to shove her in. And then I slip, and I fall into the pond of fish. And all I remember from that occasion is my uncle, Roger, his huge laugh. And he laughed, ha, ha, as he watched me fall into this water full of these trout. And of course, they all just swarmed me. And all I can remember is that big laugh and the little heads of these fish all bumping against me. Freaked me out totally. But I was soaked. I was not paying attention to what I was doing. Anybody else here agree or ever had that experience before? Not paying attention? That can happen so quickly. And Paul here is saying, pay attention, be observant, pay careful attention, circumspectly, keeping an eye on everything around you. Watch your step. Use your head. Watch where you're going. And then he says, he couples that up with live a life of wisdom. This is such a priority to Paul that already twice he has prayed for the Ephesians and for us vicariously, of course, as we read and pray these scriptures. In chapter 1, verse 8, he says that God has showered us with kindness along with wisdom and understanding. God has given all of that to us in Christ. He has given us wisdom in Jesus. And again, he says, he prays in in chapter 1, verse 17. It says, I keep on asking God the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, that he would give you the spirit of wisdom and understanding so that you can know him better. Wisdom as an essential part of every Christian's life. It should never be dismissed as something only old wise people look after. It should be something that we seek hard after, no matter what the situation, no matter what we're doing or where we're going. We need to pursue wisdom. Listen to what he says in the scriptures. Proverbs, loaded with instruction about wisdom. Psalms, much about wisdom. But listen to a specific one. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Did you hear that? Say that with me. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now, what does that mean? Should we be afraid of him? The word in Hebrew carries with this, this idea of absolute jaw-dropping awe. That we hold God in this place in our lives. And when we do that simple thing, it is the beginning of wisdom. He says the same thing in Psalms chapter 111, Psalm 111. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and good understanding have all those who keep his commandments. His praise endures forever. So not only is it about just holding God in this magnificent place in our lives where we absolutely, jaw-droppingly awe him, we also know that what he says becomes a guide for us, a life path for us. Therefore, knowing what he says brings what? Brings wisdom when we apply it. When we apply it. Now, I want you to take your Bibles and turn to the book of James, chapter 3. There's two kinds of wisdoms, according to James. There's the wisdom of this world, and then there's heavenly wisdom. So which one do we want? Well, let's have a look in James chapter 3, starting at verse 13. James chapter 3, starting at verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? I think that's a great question to ask regularly. Who is wise and understanding among you? This should be a bar that we all strive to seek to jump over to. The bar is raised here that we should all be looking, all be seeking. Who is wise and understanding among us? Let them show it by how they brag about it. Nope. You see, that's the thing about wisdom. Wisdom is way, way more than talk, because talk is cheap. Did you hear that? Talk is cheap. Look what it says. Let them show it by their good life and the deeds done in humility that come from wisdom. Show it by your good life and humility, being humble. These come from wisdom. So when Paul talks about walking in wisdom, he's actually saying these things. He's saying, show your faith by your good life. Don't just talk about it. Live it out. And when you do that, do it humbly. Don't do it like you got a corner on the truth and you know stuff that nobody else knows. Do it humbly. Do it genuinely, as we're going to hear in just a minute. So here he goes on to say in verse 14, but if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, so if your wisdom is you focused, if it's all about me focused, then don't boast about it or deny the truth. In other words, we're going to want to what? We're going to want to deny, or we're going to want to boast about how smart, how wise we are. And God says, no, 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 that's not the stuff we're looking for. Such wisdom does not come from heaven. It is earthly, it is unspiritual, and it is from the devil. You see, when the devil took Jesus aside, took him into the desert, he was being very wise, very crafty, but incredibly wrong. Do you catch that? He even used scripture wrongly. So wisdom then notices stuff about how scripture is being applied to the person's life who's talking about it. Oh, this is a good lesson for all of us in this day when the YouTube is just full of horrible teaching. Horrible. Sometimes when I listen to it, I just cringe. And there's no way to fight back. There's not really any way to speak back. You just start listening to it. You've got to be so careful about what you listen to, because the wisdom that you're hearing may not be coming from the Holy Spirit. It may actually be coming from our arch enemy, the devil himself. All right. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you have disorder and every evil practice. There's evidence of this earthly wisdom. It's the exact opposite of heavenly wisdom. Look what he says. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure. It cannot come from you if it's supposed to be pure, because we are impure. We do not have purity in our hearts unless God puts it there. That's the only way. And so purity is like crystal clear. There's no hidden agendas. There's no secret formulas. There's no just sort of dark, shadowy stuff. It's all just out in the open, broad as daylight. It's in the light because God himself is in the light. And it's full of love because God himself is love. This is wisdom. Look what it says next. It's first of all pure. And then what? Peace-loving. The very first thing is about purity. It's about honesty, openness, no hidden agendas. And the second thing is how we treat people. It's obvious how we treat people. That's wisdom from heaven. It's peace loving. I like that. It's peace loving. So we have to be able to discern in relationships what will bring the greatest amount of peace. Blessed are the peacemakers, Jesus said. What? What's the promise? Anybody? Blessed are the peacemakers, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called, no, that's the meek, for they will be called the children of God. Blessed are those who promote and seek after peace, not for what agitates and divides. Listen closely. If what you're speaking about divides, unnecessarily divides, then you got to wonder where it's coming from. Because the enemy of our souls wants division. So be very careful what you embrace. Is it peace-loving? Is it considerate? Look at that. Another command from wisdom. It is to be considerate. It's just to show a little consideration to others. This is wisdom from heaven. It is submissive. That word doesn't get very much airtime in our culture. It is submissive. You know, here's what I have found about people who are wise. You can tell them all of your conspiracy theories, and they'll just nod their heads. Mm-hmm. Okay. And inside themselves, you know what they're praying? They're praying that God would keep you on the right path. They're just gentle. They're considerate. They may poke you and say, maybe you should go back and recheck the scriptures on that one. Because I know that there are so many things. Conspiracies are not just political. Conspiracies and having that kind of attitude is that you think people are out to get you. That's what you think. And God is saying, wisdom says, no, I fear God. I hold God in highest regard, not all of these other conspiracies. Be very careful then that submissiveness is at the heart of whatever the teaching is you're hearing. Because if it's not, it is not wisdom from heaven. Did you hear that? Be very careful. It is full of mercy. See, you got to see how people say things in the scripture, how it's written. If I say to you, have some mercy, you understand completely what that means. Usually it means be kind to the other person, right? But if I say to you, be full of mercy, well, what does that mean? See, it's not like you just sort of, okay, I'll be merciful. No, it is actually an intentional way of living that looks at every opportunity that comes before it to express and show mercy. That's what it does. This is wisdom from above. And good fruit, not impartial, not showing any favoritism, not showing anyone any partiality. This is wisdom. And then finally it says, sincere, which is almost a repeat to the top because it's a similar word to pure. Sincere means see-through-ish. In other words, you are open like a book. No secrets, no shadows. Wow. This is wisdom from above. And James was talking to a church that was at odds. They were quarreling. In the very next chapter, he says, why are there so many fights among you? Right? And he emphasizes again, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Because he knows that earthly wisdom does not come from God, it comes from the enemy. So we need to submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. These are very important times for us to be wise. And I remember, I was such a foolish kid. I took foolish risks. I did foolish things. Just like the scripture says that in the heart of a child, foolishness is bound up. Well, it was really bound up in my heart. Because I acted the fool constantly. Any chance I could get, I acted out. Sometimes just totally and purely so I get all the attention. That was the only reason, to be really blunt and honest with you. Other times it was sort of a natural reaction to things. But I was so foolish. And I remember coming home from Bible camp, Bear Lake Bible camp, one early teens. I got home and I was like, the challenge at Bible camp was to have a Bible, have a morning devotional, it was called, every morning. Okay? So I thought, okay, I'm home now. I'm in my bedroom. I'm going to have my daily devotional. So either it was the first or second, or within that first week, I came across the story of Solomon. And when God spoke to Solomon in the night, he said, ask me for whatever you want, and I will give it to you. A genie in the bottle. I saw it all. My life flashed before my eyes. Rich, good looking, great sports car. You know, here I am, teenager. You know what else I thought? I thought of having a huge, beautiful, decked-out semi-truck trailer. I don't know why, but that was in my head. Maybe because I grew up on a farm. Who knows? I had that in my heart, and it popped up. What? You mean this is what we can ask God for? But I kept reading. And to my utter and total surprise, King Solomon said, give me wisdom and knowledge. And my first gut reaction is, that is so boring. What would you have asked for if God comes to you in the middle of the night and says, well, I'll give you anything you like. What would you like? What would you have asked for? What do you want? What are you pursuing in life? Are you looking for peace? Are you looking for wholeness? Are you looking for happiness? Are you looking for wealth? Are you looking for a good mate? What are you looking for? What are you asking for? What is it you want? And God comes to you in the night and he says, hey, Pharrell, whatever you want, I'll give it to you. What would you ask for? What would you say? Would you be as devoted as this young king who says, I want wisdom, I want understanding? Would that be your prayer? Listen to the rest of what God says to Solomon after he says this. Since this is your heart's desire, and you've not asked for wealth, for riches, for honor, you know, for popularity, even for the death of your enemies, and since you've not even asked for a long life, but instead you ask for wisdom, therefore, I will give you wisdom and knowledge. And then he says, I will also give you wealth and riches and honor such as no king has ever had before and none will ever have after you. Wow. So listen, you know what that tells me? It doesn't tell me that I want to get after the stuff that obviously God was talking about here. But what it does say, if you put wisdom first, a lot of other things will fall into place for you. If you put wisdom first, If you seek Him this way, Him first, jaw-dropping awe, fear God. That is the beginning of wisdom. So whatever else you're looking for, start with wisdom and see where it leads you down that path. Start with wisdom. Make that your heart's desire. That's what I learned that night sitting in my bed. And you know, I think I've prayed that prayer more than I can count. God, give me a heart of wisdom. Take away my foolishness. You know, my dad, he would say sometimes, Kevin, you're acting the fool. And actually, it was good that he told me that because I knew I was on the wrong path at that point. I wasn't acting as though I was praying for. I was praying for wisdom. I was looking for wisdom, searching for wisdom. Jesus said, if you obey His teachings, you're like a wise person, building your house on a rock. If you don't obey His teachings, you're a foolish person, building your house on the sand. You know what the similarity is? Both of them built a house. Both of them looked fine until what happened? Tragedy strikes. A violent storm, a storm comes. Because that's how life works. That's what life is. Life is all about the next COVID that comes our way. Oh, Kevin, come on, don't scare me like that. The fact of the matter is, there is nothing stopping another COVID from coming along before this one's even finished. Because that's what life is like. It is a torrential storm, Jesus says. And when it hits your house, wham! And it's built on the rock, your house will stand. The wise man's house, built upon the rock, stands firm. What happens to the foolish man's house? Bang! The storm comes. What happens? It crashes with a great crash. I like the way that's described. It doesn't just crash. It crashes with a great crash. Why? Because you've built your life on foolish things. Therefore, this is what Paul says through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Walk in wisdom. Walk in wisdom. Now turn to someone next to you and say, walk in wisdom. Come on, say it to each other. Walk in wisdom. Proverbs chapter 4. I want you to look at this one. Proverbs chapter 4. Look at this one. This is one of those passages that I have tried hard over my life in the power of the Spirit to continue in and to continue on this pathway. Look what it says. Get wisdom. I like that. In all the most getting way, get wisdom. Get understanding. Go after it. Go hard after it. Do not forget my words or swerve from them. I love it. You know, we hear what God says. We go, well, you know, if I'm just this close to what God says, it's okay. Don't swerve. Stay on the path. Don't swerve to the left or to the right. Do not forsake wisdom. Don't leave it alone. Don't leave it out of your life. And then it becomes a person. She will protect you. Love her, and she will watch over you. It's like a good mother who protects and watches over the children. Wisdom is like that. Therefore, wisdom is supreme. Get wisdom. Come on, say that with me. Get wisdom. Come on, I want to hear it. Get wisdom. Those of you watching on TV, let's hear it. Come on, I can't hear you. Get wisdom. Get wisdom. Though it costs you all you have, get understanding. Esteem her, and she will exalt you. Embrace her, and she will honor you. She will set a garland of grace around on your head and present you with a crown of splendor. Who wants wisdom? Who wants a big plate full of wisdom? Come on. This is not easy, and that's why Paul, in the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, after he tells us to get wisdom, walk in wisdom, don't be foolish, walk in wisdom, what's the first thing he says? Manage your, what's it say? Time. Make the most of every opportunity. Some translations, redeem the time. Redeem the time. Because just like 2,000 years ago, the days around us are what? What are they? Evil. Evil. Redeem the time. The first thing a wise person does is begin to manage life well and take every opportunity that is provided for it. Listen to what Galatians 6 says. Therefore, as we have opportunity, I like the way it's written, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all believers, do good to all people, especially to those who are believers. So did you hear that? As you have opportunity, as things come up, take the time. Do not view them as interruptions. See them through the eyes of wisdom as a potential opportunity. See them that way. In Colossians chapter 4, same thing. Be wise in how you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you will know how to answer everyone. Oh, people of God, listen to me. If there's something that aches in my heart, it's how the church is responding to the COVID thing. So divided. So divided. It makes me angry. The fact is, it says right here in the scripture, this is an opportunity to speak and show grace to those who are not in the household of faith. This is an opportunity to show wisdom. Wisdom. It's very important. I love Lord of the Rings. Oh, you know, we were in New Zealand. That's where it was all taken. We went to the Hobbiton a few times to enjoy it. At one scene in the movie, Frodo is discouraged. He's the little fella, has the mission that has been put on his shoulders to take the ring to Mount Doom and to cast it in there. And at one point, he's discouraged. He's sitting there with Gandalf the Wise, and he says to Gandalf, I wish all this had never happened. I wish it had not happened in my time. And Gandalf said to Frodo, so do I. And so do all who live in such times. How about just sort of reading the paper right now? The book there, hey? The Lord of the Rings, the movie too. This is in the movie. But that is not for them to decide. It's not up to us when we live. It's not up to us when we're born. It says all we have to decide is what to do with the time that is given to us. Thank you, Gandalf. The time that is given to us, we are called upon, if there was ever a time to know wisdom, to be pursuing wisdom, it is now. Stay on track. Stay focused on the Great One, the Mighty One. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and understanding. It's so clear in verse 17, therefore don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. The exact opposite of doing what God wants is being an idiot, is being a fool. I mean, it's stark. I love how contrasting it is. If you're not going to follow God's ways, then you will be foolish, you'll be uptight, you'll be insecure, you'll go after every wind of doctrine, every teaching that flows by, you'll be looking to duck and hide, instead of moving forward in the knowledge of the grace of God that you are in His mighty hand, and you don't have to be afraid. Oh, yeah. Understand what the Lord's will is. This is the second thing that a wise man does, a wise person, a wise woman, a wise teenager. It is wise to seek and learn and know and understand what the Lord wants you to do and to be. He'd already reminded us in verse 10, it says, find out what pleases the Lord. This is how we should live our lives. First, I want you to notice the reverse, that if we do not pursue wisdom, we are a fool. Jesus said, he taught us to pray, "Our Father in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Do you believe what he prayed? Even though we live in a COVID crazy society that freaks out when somebody coughs. No, I'm just kidding. I'm sorry, I had to take advantage of that moment. See, that's the foolish part of me coming out. Yeah. You know, you cough at Walmart and everybody stops what they're doing and looks at you. And then they go 3 aisles away. Anyway, if we could just really, truly settle in on really understanding that prayer, "Your will be done," right now, in the middle of COVID, "Your will be done. Your will be done." Jesus, in facing the most darkest hour, was in the garden, and that's what he prayed. "Not my will, but yours be done." And you know what that meant? That meant sacrifice. That meant a terrible torture. That meant hanging on a cross. But he prayed it anyway. "I don't want my will, because my will is more dangerous than that. My will is more dangerous than his will. So not my will, but yours be done." You see, there's a couple ways we can understand this. I think generally, just to make it simple, generally it's God's will that he changes us to become like his son, the Lord Jesus. Okay, that's the general will of God. So you could take that and broad brush everything you're going through with your life, and you could ask, how is this making me more like Jesus? That's the general will of God for you in Christ, okay? And then there are some specifics, like what am I supposed to do? Who am I supposed to be? Like, I know that I'm called to do what I do. I'm called to be a pastor. I'm called to preach and teach. That's my calling. I know that's what I'm sort of built for. And so I'm doing this because I believe it's his will for me. It's not his will for you or you. It's not, it's his will for you. So don't worry. Don't worry about that. Okay? So there it is. Like, it's personal. What's his will for you? What is he asking of you? And that's why I think that whole idea of as opportunity presents, you are the one who's put in the pathway. I don't know how many times I've told people who've come rushing to me, "Oh, pastor, there's a great need over here, la, 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 la." And you know what my first response used to be? "So what are you going to do about it?" Because you know what they were telling me? Because they expected me to do something about it. So what are you going to do about it? I've since got a little more clever. I since lay out a few ideas and say, "Here you go, rush with it." Because not always does it fit what I'm doing at the moment. So sometimes it is an interruption, but most of the time it's not. Especially if I see it as an opportunity. And even I can throw out my suggestions. That's what I believe God wants for us specifically. He even says things like in 1 Thessalonians 5, it says, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you." So, what's his specific will? Be what? Come on, say it to me. Thankful. When? When you feel like it. When you want to. When you think others are watching. In all circumstances, give thanks to God. This is the heart of wisdom. It is also his will. His will for us that we should give thanks. Here's another one. In 1 Thessalonians 4:3, it says, it is God's will that you should be holy. Sanctified is the word it uses. And that you should avoid all sexual immorality. Oh, well, there you have it right there. It's pretty clear. No way to get around that one. Unless you want to. No way to swerve off that past. You know, well, the situation changed, so I had to move in with him. I just had to. Really? And you say you're a Christian. And you know that God says in Hebrews chapter 13, he will judge all people. He will judge those who disregard the sanctity of the marriage bed. He will judge you. He says it right there. And yet you have the gall to tell me, oh yeah, the circumstances changed and everything was just an upheaval. And so we thought, well, why don't we pool our resources and live together? Oh, that just sounds so good and so dumb and foolish at the same time, because it is not God's will. God expects you in his will to be holy and to act this way. Now, let's talk about forgiveness. Thank God for forgiveness. If you mess up, what is the good news of the gospel? Forgiveness. It's not in a vacuum, though. This is what I tell people who, in fact, this is something I recently told somebody. They did the same thing. They decided to live together. They said they were Christians. And I said, so, you know, I tell them about guilt and how it can affect your relationship and how it can actually have a very negative effect on the roots of your love. I go that direction first. And secondly, I say, have you asked God to forgive you? Oh, yeah. Third question, have you asked your parents to forgive you too? Oh, crickets. You know, especially if they're Christians. Now, if they're not, I don't usually say this, but if they are Christians, I know that as Christian parents, they don't like what they're seeing. And you've probably hurt them. And so I would say, that's number one, God. Number two, them. Go to your parents, even go to your siblings. If you're the oldest one, they're all looking up to you. You go to your family, those who have influence, those who you know, the Holy Spirit will put it on your heart, who you need to ask forgiveness of. So that's what I do in counseling sessions when people come to me. Because I always ask, why now? Why do you want to get married now? What's the difference? You get everything you want without any open, honest commitment and obeying the Lord. So why change? Well, because the biggest reason, because we're pregnant. That's the biggest reason. Folks, it is God's will that you are holy. Therefore, he tells the people in the city of Galatia, avoid, stay away from, don't have anything to do with sexual immorality. So, when we're talking to folks who say they're Christians, this is where we can go, right to these passages. This is God's will for you. Do his will. If you lack wisdom, here's the beauty of it. Here's a passage that I memorized when I was in 11th grade. If anyone lacks wisdom, and I put my name there, if I lack wisdom, if Kevin lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives wisdom without holding back or showing any favoritism or pointing the finger in. He says, ask me for wisdom. I'll give it to you. Just ask in faith. I'll give it to you. Then he goes on in verse 18. Don't get drunk with wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. As I've been saying all along throughout this message and throughout this whole chapter, same with Ryan, throughout this whole book, none of this can happen without the power of the Holy Spirit surging through our veins. We must lean wholly on him. That's why the command here, don't get drunk with wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled, is a continuous being filled. It's a constant need, like breathing. I was going to have you all try and hold your breath, but we ran out of time. Now, let's do it. Hold your breath as long as you can. I'm terrible at this. Oh, you breathe. Who's still holding their breath? Anybody? Still got your hand up? Okay, good. Some of you are looking a little white. Maybe just let go of the illustration. How many can hold your breath for a minute? Yeah? How many 2 minutes? Oh, nobody here can hold their breath for 2 minutes. What happens at the end of that? What do you got to do? You need to breathe. This is how we need the Holy Spirit, in the same way that we breathe. We must, like breathing, see him as the opportunity to regularly check in and have the power of the Spirit working in our lives. We just need him that way. We are broken. And somebody once said, we leak. I like that. We leak. Drunkenness was an interesting way of looking at it, because obviously it's a symbol of an old life. Remember, in the book of Ephesians, Paul is saying, take off the old, put on the new, right? So this is a way he's doing this. He's just trying to be contrasting here. So take off drunkenness and put on instead the way of the Spirit. Now, Paul is not being an ogre here. He is not dissing wine. He is saying, don't get drunk. Don't go excessively into this thing. Because if you do, it will lead to all kinds of wastefulness in your life, debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, which will never lead this way. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. I was listening to one of the preachers online. Because we're doing okay with time here, I'm going to give you this list. This is what he said. He said, first he prefaced his remark by saying, okay, nobody here get angry with me and leave the church, okay? Because this is what he said. He said, alcohol and the Holy Spirit do the same things in our lives. And he stopped for a second, and the church went, what? And he said, now don't kick me out just yet. But they do it in completely and entirely different ways. Then he kind of gave his list. He said, alcohol is a depressant that dulls your senses to reality and makes you less aware of your surroundings. Would that be true? All right. I've never been drunk, so I don't know. That's how it provides comfort. Alcoholism is a form of comfort. And then he says, but instead, the Holy Spirit provides comfort by helping us cope with entirely different eyes, looking at God's strength in the middle of the situation we find ourselves in. That's what the Holy Spirit does. So it's almost like drunkenness kind of makes you unaware. The Spirit makes you aware. Alcohol gets rid of worry. Could you believe that? When you're completely hammered, how worried are you? Well, some people get drunk and they get paranoid. I suppose that could happen. But let's go with the illustration. I'm sure most people drop their worriedness. And it makes you forget, or it tries to make you forget. Well, the Holy Spirit gets rid of worry by helping you remember. Fear the Lord. Honor Him. Make Him great in your eyes. Alcohol can give you courage by making you unaware of the dangers that are around you. The Holy Spirit can give you courage by showing you how much greater God is than anything you may be fearing. One last one. Alcohol adds excitement to your life. Otherwise, people wouldn't do it. It adds excitement to your life by giving you a cheap thrill. But the Holy Spirit takes you into the presence of God where there is fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. Oh, this is actually a very good thing there. It's a very good contrast. Now, honestly, I don't know if that was what Paul was trying to say. I think he was just trying to say, don't live like you used to, live this way instead. But that fits. I could go with that. I could preach that. Oh, I just did. Cyprian. How many of you know who Cyprian was? He was the bishop of Carthage in the 200s, the early 200s. Do you know, have you heard of his name? Cyprian. Cyprian had an interesting way of looking at this passage. You know what? He tagged this line. He said, it is like sober intoxication. I like that. It's sober intoxication with God as you draw closer and closer to Christ in the presence of the Holy Spirit. Sober intoxication. I can live with that. And that's from like 200, so that's not even very far from Christ. That's been in the church a long time. Because what happens is when we are soberly intoxicated with the Holy Spirit, the first thing that starts to happen, look at the rest, we start to worship. And we encourage everyone around us to worship and to praise the Lord. Look what it says. Speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Sing, make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to the Father for everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you are living in the fullness of the Spirit, it will bubble over. It will come out as song, as beauty, as aesthetics. Your life will be light. Your life will be love. Your life will be wise. And it will bubble out. As you speak to others, you'll bless them, encourage them, strengthen them. Even this morning when Stacy said, you know, I just feel like the church is going to explode. In a good way, she said. You know, that just encouraged me. That's full of the Spirit. That's what words are. meant to be. They're meant to be to each other. And it's meant to bubble out because we are soberly intoxicated in the Holy Spirit. I like that. Let's use that as we move forward. One of my favorites, C.S. Lewis, and with this I'll close. He said, the problem with this, in regards to all that I've been teaching, is that we're half-hearted creatures. Fooling about with drink and sex and ambition and partying and the like, when infinite joy is offered to us instead. Like an ignorant child who wants to play in the mud puddles, making mud pies in a slum, because they have no idea in their imagination what it would be like to play at a holiday by the sea. Did you hear that? You sell yourself so short when you decide to live by your own bootstraps, so to speak, instead of pursuing wisdom that God has for us out there. Listen to what it says at the end. He says, we are far too easily pleased. We are far too easily pleased. We need to be a little less pleased. We need a little more sober intoxication. We need to pursue the Holy Spirit. Remember what it said? Get wisdom. Get understanding. Don't forget my words. Don't swerve from them. Don't forsake wisdom. She'll protect you. Love her. She'll watch over you. Wisdom is supreme. Therefore, get wisdom. Though it costs you everything you have, get understanding. Esteem her. She will exalt you. She will embrace you. She will honor you. And she will be a garland of grace on your head and present you with a crown of splendor. Do we need wisdom in this day? Do we need this teaching? Walk in wisdom and not as fools.